Judges 3, verses 12 to 31. These are God's words. And the children of Israel again did evil in the sight of Yahweh. So Yahweh strengthened Eglon, king of Moab, against Israel, because they had done evil in the sight of Yahweh. Then he gathered to himself the people of Ammon and Amalek, and went and defeated Israel, and took possession of the city of palms. So the children of Israel served Eglon, king of Moab, 18 years. But when the children of Israel cried out to Yahweh, Yahweh raised up a deliverer for them, Ehud, the son of Gera, the Benjamite, left-handed man. By him the children of Israel sent tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Ehud made himself a dagger. It was double-edged, and a cubit in length, and fastened it under his clothes on his right thigh. So he brought the tribute to Eglon, king of Moab. Now Eglon was a very fat man. And when Ehud had sent him the tribute, he sent away the people who had carried the tribute, but he himself turned back from the stone images that were at Gilgal and said, I have a secret message for you, O king. He said, keep silence. And all who attended him went out from him. So Ehud came to him. Now he was sitting upstairs in his cool private chamber. Then Ehud said, I have a message from God. So he arose from his seat. Then Ehud reached with his left hand, took the dagger from his right thigh, and thrust it into his belly. Even the hilt went in after the blade, and the fat closed over the blade. For he did not draw the dagger out of his belly, and his entrance came out. Then Ehud went through the porch and shut the doors of the upper room behind him and locked them. When he had gone out, Eglon's servants came to look, and to their surprise, the doors of the upper room were locked. So they said, he is probably attending to his needs in the cool chamber. So they waited till they were embarrassed, and still he had not opened the doors of the upper room. Therefore they took the key and opened, and there was their master, fallen dead on the floor. But Ehud had escaped while they delayed, passed beyond the stone images, and escaped to Seirah. And it happened when he arrived that he blew the trumpet in the mountains of Ephraim. The children of Israel went down with him from the mountains, and he led them. Then he said to them, follow me, for Yahweh has delivered your enemies, the Moabites, into your hand. So they went down after him, seized the fords of the Jordan leading to Moab, and did not allow anyone to cross over. And at that time they killed about 10,000 men of Moab, all stout men of valor, not a man escaped. So Moab was subdued that day into the hand of Israel, and the land had rest for 80 years. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who killed 600 men of the Philistines with an ox goad, and he also delivered it. So far the reading of God's word. So what were the children of Israel doing in the sight of Yahweh, Ezekiel? Victoria? Evil. So basically, Israel was being Israel. I was in Deuteronomy 8 and 9 this morning, and Moses, by the Holy Spirit, was telling them, I think he said it like 4 times in 5 verses, do not think that it was because you were righteous that the Lord chose you and is giving you the land. It's to punish the wickedness of those whom you were going to dispossess. And then Israel is being Israel. But this passage isn't so much about Israel being Israel. It's about the Lord being the Lord. They cry out. Doesn't say anything about repentance. The only judge under whom Israel is said to repent in the entire book is Jephthah. Interestingly, another reason why I'm pretty certain Jephthah didn't actually kill his daughter. We'll talk about that when we get to him. Israel doesn't repent, but the Lord hears their cry anyway, for the sake of his covenant, his commitment to them, the oath that he swore to their fathers, and his plan to bring Christ into the world. He hears their cry, he sends them a deliverer. Now, Eglon is a Benjamite. There are a lot of left-handed Benjamites. We read about that in a couple of different places, but he's one of them. He's left-handed, and that means he's very good with his left hand. So when time comes to grab his weapon off of his right thigh, that you could see how he might be gesturing with his right hand, or maybe even the king Eglon gets up, and when Ehud says, "I remember God for you," and says, Eglon gets up, right? He's not expecting the left-handed Benjamite. He's also not expecting it because what has Ehud just done? What has Ehud just brought him? He's brought him the tribute, the taxes. He's done this act of submission. So Eglon, big fat Eglon, up in his school chamber with his great big heaping pile of Israelite money sitting in the corner that Ehud just brought him in an attitude and posture of humility and submission, and he stabs him in the stomach all the way through until his intestines come out. Sent from God to deliver the blow when I least expect it. Like the minister who this week was asked to give the opening prayer in the Illinois legislature, and he comes and he makes some opening remarks, and he prays a little bit for some things, and then he prays that God would witness that his people had done what they could to dissuade this body of wicked men and women from legislating the murder of children, and that these people would not listen but stopped up their ears and pleaded with the Almighty to bring down his hand of judgment in the state of Illinois. It just brought his tribute. And then, metaphorically speaking, the left-handed minister grabs his 18-inch that was strapped to his right thigh and sticks it in the belly of the Illinois legislature. The point is that you may execute wisdom to set up those to whom you need to deal a blow for the Lord. And not all blows are physical. There are people who may need rebukes. You remember what Nathan did, right? When David needed a rebuke? Yeah, and he tells him what was just an illustration. With the man, the one man that is like a daughter to him, and the rich man who has a bunch. You know, he gets him ready, sets him up. David says, "By Yahweh, that man will not live." And Nate, "You're the man." Well, the Lord uses Ehud, and he uses him in a very very earthy details, intestines and potty chambers and servants sitting outside, embarrassed at how long their master has been covering his feet, to use the literal translation. They would say that because when he went potty, his clothing would for his feet. So that was a euphemism they used for going potty. And then also Shamgar, he uses the ox goad. The ox goad would have been a great big long stick that you could come behind the ox, way behind the ox face, and it would have kind of a heavy end with a metal cap on it with a handle. And you could also use the glove as a club if you use that end of it. I'm sure if Shamgar is going like all Chuck Norris on the Flistons, using both ends left and right, 600 dudes, and it's pretty amazing. But it would also narrow at the other end into a point that would make a pretty good Philistine skewer to make some Philistine kebab. But these ox goads could be as much as 8 feet long. And so, yeah, nice ripped dude, possessed by the Spirit of God for the destruction of Philistines. And you can see how an ox goad is a pretty serious weapon. But for them, it's an ox goad. So the Lord is being the Lord, even using kind of the details of life that are almost too crass. Yeah, if it weren't from the Bible, some among us might be saying, "Don't talk about it." But it's good for us to know that the Lord saves not just by many, but by few. Not just in ordinary ways, but in unexpected ways. And that he is there attending in every detail of life. So Israel is being Israel, and the Lord is being the Lord. And we still have the problem, which is Israel needs to be changed. And so it's still making us cry out that Christ would come, that the Deliverer would come, who is not just good at making big fat kings feel comfortable until they spill their intestines on the floor, that the Deliverer would come, who is not just good at wielding the ox goad like some kind of ancient Near Eastern ninja. The Deliverer would come, who could take away the guilt of our sin and pour out his Spirit on us, make us to be like himself and holiness. Israel is being Israel and Yahweh is being Yahweh. And he is making us to look for and be ready for Jesus. Not just to be hungry to get to the part of the story where Jesus is, but that we ourselves and our own souls who identify with Israel, so we do keep coming back to our sin, would lay hold of Christ and cling the real living Christ. Right. Lord Jesus, thank you. You have to us in the nitty details of today. Help rest in you, to view everything that we have, and if something that needs to be employed for your glory, your service, and dependence upon you for your grace. We thank you that because of the finality of your work on the cross, your resurrection, because of your the power of your indestructible life, and because of your Spirit who have poured out on us, we will not always keep sinning, but that you have started a work which shall be completed. And we pray that it would cause us never to be hopeless or anxious, knowing that you are able in every situation to deliver us. Grant these things, we pray, in your own precious name, our Lord Jesus. Amen.